Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Today, we've got sustainability. We've got locally grown sourced dank stems and bud. We've got Stephen Lemieux. You'd better believe it. We've got integrity. But most of all, it tastes like shit. South Park starts now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Look at the name on the show, Ryan, in the booth at South Park. Yes, we swear on
They're
the show.
Swearing.
Welcome. I am Christian Budd, joined, as always, by the lovely, question mark, talented, question mark. No, both of those things are true. Stetson Brock.
The Heidi of this panel.
She's so smart and funny.
And so funny.
It's hard so funny. To be me but amongst these mere mortals.
The loveliest and talentedest at the panel. None other than Stephen Lemieux.
Guys, where was Rob Reiner? I needed Rob Reiner this episode.
We haven't had Stephen since he decided to hijack the show with a Rick and Morty soundboard.
Yes,
oh,
there was
geez.
There was the
oh, Rick man, and Morty that went game over show. Well.
Well, yeah, I thought
I was like it felt like a 6-hour game show.
It was 20 minutes. It was literally 20 minutes. Anyway, Stephen, it is an honor and a privilege to have you back here with us. I think that Stephen is here to just sort of clean things up because last week we talked about it. It was a real Heidi of an episode.
I was just really disappointed because, Christian, obviously you are an anti-vaxxer yourself. Your kids mm-hmm. are not vaccinated.
Now, why would they be?
And I have chased them with syringes before.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that it is not as difficult as South Park made it seem.
No, it's difficult, but they didn't squeal like pigs.
No, not
for
at
some
all.
Reason.
They didn't rub themselves in Crisco
no.
either.
They neighed. Yeah. They neighed like horses, and they, you know, they had
anti-vaxxer
some,
children yeah. do.
They neighed like horses and were covered head to toe in Nutella. I don't understand. It's completely different. But I think that this week was a real return to form here at South Park. This is South Park, where we do the show from. And as the non-regular, the irregular on the panel, I wanted to start with you, Stephen. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was kind of interesting how on top of like something I straight up was talking about days before the episode aired, I produced Maria's show, Better Together, and we pre-taped an interview with Christy Funk, who's like a breast cancer like the top breast cancer surgeon in the United States. And she was talking about how plant-based diets are better for the environment and how they actually help with keeping tumors from growing. And she started talking about impossible meat and those kind of things. And my question to her was, yeah, but as meat has become the industry and pumped full of chemicals to make it grow faster, as impossible meats and things like that become more and more popular, won't they just be as processed as those? And she's like, yeah, so you have to actually try and buy good, healthy food.
Yeah, right, so you have to do it now. Yeah, I know that Morgan Spurlock, who people know, did Super Size Me. He had a newer documentary with
Super Size Me Too.
Yeah, exactly. It was Super Size Me Too. And one of the things that they talked about is, like, you know, people get things slapped on labels, like free range and organic, and they don't mean what you think they do. If you were to go and buy a chicken and it was prepared the way that you think, you know, it is healthy, where it's, you know, actually grass-fed, and it's not, you know, it is completely cruelty-free, it would cost you, like, $25 for a chicken. And so I think that as the impossible market expands, I think we're going to get a lot of goo men, basically, as we saw in the episode.
I'm a goo man.
And what did you think of this episode as our special goo girl?
As the goo girl of the panel, I love this episode. There was so much shade thrown in every single... Yeah. There was multiple things that they were discussing and breaking down, I feel like, in the episode. And I loved it. It was South Park at its finest when they're just shitting on people.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I thought that, you know, I have people all the time that tell me, it's like, well, why don't you try the Impossible Burger? And it's like, Burger King has one. Carl's Jr. has one. And if you're in another part of the country, it's Hardee's. It's the same place. And, you know, I'm just like, yeah, but I'm just not that interested in it. And
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Then South Park, being my spirit animal as it is, pointed out, well, this tastes like shit. I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of what I expected.
Yeah, but you're eating plant-based.
Right, but it's plant-based.
No,
shit.
How they did it, because I've had Impossible Burgers, and that's exactly the process of how you taste it. It first tastes like shit, and then you keep eating, and you're like, damn, this is exactly like a hamburger.
Was there weed in the one you had?
No.
It's mulch.
Yeah, you're right. It's mulch.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know that helped that, but they were trying ones before and confirmed the taste.
Well, it's psychologically interesting how marketing works with these things, right? And this is such a great, poignant statement on the hypocrisy of these industries. Because if you psychologically think something's better for you, you're going to convince yourself that it tastes okay enough that you're fine with
sure.
it. And that's kind of what they're going with. Because, like, if you, like, I'll take it, for the instance, the green smoothies. Like, I'll just convince myself that they're better for me, and it'll make me drink them even though they taste like garbage. to me. Like, I just think they taste like garbage, but it's like, okay, like, whatever. If this is going to be better for me, I'll convince myself. With the Impossible Burgers, it's like, if I'm going to go to a burger joint, and I'm expecting, like, a really nice, tasty burger, and it's not that tasty, I'm pissed.
Right.
But if I go to a burger joint, I'm like, all right, I'll try this and see if it tastes like a burger. It immediately lowers my standards enough that anything that I get, I'm just going to be like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that this is, of course, free promotion. But I know that Burger King actually has a deal where you can get a meal where it has a real Whopper and an Impossible Whopper. And it's called, like, the taste test bundle or whatever. And I can just imagine, like, how many bites of the plant-based one would I get before I threw it away? But then also I thought, how many bites would I get of the regular Whopper before I threw that away? So I guess it's like, it really comes to, what is your standard for, you know, how good does it need to taste? If you're eating at Burger King, you're obviously, your standards aren't necessarily where they need to be.
Well, just thank God that you can still slap plant-based on anything that you pump full of sodium.
Like,
thank God.
Like shitty beef?
Shitty beef? No, it's incredible shitty beef.
Incredible shitty beef.
Incredibly shitty
Mongolian
chicken.
So, you know, and but to your point about convincing yourself that it, you know, that something tastes good because you need to, my sister has celiac disease, and like a decade ago, I was exposed to gluten-free cake for the first time. And this isn't like, you know, oh, I eat gluten because I'm trying to lose weight. Like, you know, my sister gets sick if she, so I had it, and she's like, that cake was really good. And I'm just like, oh, she wasn't joking. I was just thinking, like, I would rather eat the box of that the cake came in. It was so bad.
Somebody brought vegan cookies. They were like chocolate chip oatmeal cookies to the studio the other day.
Right.
And like I found myself doing it. I like tried it. I'm like, oh, this tastes like garbage. And I'm like, oh, it's vegan. So it's pretty good for vegan.
Yeah. You just
wait, exactly. This is not actually good. It's kind of gross.
Have you guys seen the girl who tastes the kombucha?
No.
You haven't seen that video, Ryan? If you can show it, it's not on YouTube or anything, but she's going through the process.
Not, but it's not on YouTube.
So wait, how's he going to find it?
If you look up kombucha girl, I swear you will find it in seconds.
Okay. I'm curious what this video is.
She tries kombucha because it's healthy, and the way that she's going through the taste is exactly how you guys are watch. Okay, he'll play it in a few seconds.
So this is the kombucha girl for those that are just
yeah, listening. She's trying it.
It really smells like a public restroom.
Okay, this is way longer than I thought.
Sounds like
it smells like a public restroom.
You have to get to the end.
You know what?
Here we
go.
Oh,
I see. This is on TikTok.
No. Well.
So basically, that's the point.
Yes.
No. Yeah, and I think that they really hammered that home. You know, I think that there was so much of that in the episode. Let's go through it a little bit. There wasn't a lot of callback to China, even though, as we will talk about in our news, South Park continues to be in the news in China. Although, if you're living in China, you don't even know that South Park ever existed at this point. But
I think that it's interesting because they have drawn a fairly subtle comparison between the U.S. and China with this episode, in that you know, what we're dealing with in China is all these, the human rights issues and how they're treating their people and like how, you know, there's a lot of food issues in China as well. But with this, it's like, isn't America kind of doing the same to their people through the processed foods and everything like that? Aren't we kind of like, isn't that like a human rights issue in its own right?
Absolutely.
And it's all about business. Again, it's not the comparison between China and America, and that it's more the comparison between like business and the need for a market share and market value. Because what they're showing you is that health has always been a billion-dollar industry, but now it's like the Impossible Meat. It's the same shit, but now that's a new billion-dollar industry, and you have these oil drillers coming in, the There Will Be Blood guy, kind of touting the healthfulness just to make the money, even though it's the same shit. They don't actually have any vested interest in making people healthier at all.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I guess it's one of those things when you're here in the United States, you're like, well, you know, we do a lot of things that are better. But how, you know, then there are plenty of things that you
different
can point
kinds
to.
Of rights issues, yeah, obviously.
Different kinds of rights issues.
But they did draw a direct line to China in this episode, though, because Cartman, when he's talking about the quote where he says, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negatives that can happen when you are not thinking about others and only thinking about yourself. So that's a direct quote from LeBron James,
yeah,
who was talking about the NBA and the Houston Rockets GM, I
it
believe.
It was the GM.
Yeah. So he's gotten a lot of flack for saying that because it was so self-centered.
Well, that's the thing, because if you're, you know, I think that the GM of the Houston Rockets, if you're being reprimanded for, hey, don't comment on politics. You run a basketball team. But instead, what he's being chastised for is, how dare you come out in favor of democracy? Where do you think this is? And I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And by the way, before the show, Steph and I were talking about that we expect to be on some list in China. You know, I went to China 5 years ago. I'm glad I got my trip to China in, because I feel like just talking about this.
I haven't had my trip to China in a while.
I don't think we're going
to
get it.
But that's why Steven is here to be so pro-Chinese.
Yeah.
He is here to be the voice of reason.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and just because Steph wants to go to Hong Kong Disneyland. Mm-hmm. You know? So let's talk about the... You know, just sort of this introduction of the idea of the school lunches, when Cartman is being served, and instead of, I believe it was supposed to be Sloppy Joe Day. It's fish, but of course the lunch lady, just to make us laugh, says fish, and he's
I
like,
"I miss Chef."
Yeah. Oh man, do I miss Chef? And then it's like, but who would complain about healthy eating and sustainability? And then Cartman has, of course, the perfect answer. The girls, the fucking girls. Steph, as a girl, did that surprise you that it was the girls who were creating all the trouble there in the school?
It wasn't just the girls, which they made clear. They made clear that a lot of people want to be eating healthy. No, we're always ahead of the wave. We're ahead of the curve.
We're the new generation.
Yeah, I think it played out perfectly. Everything about Cartman's storyline this episode was so quintessentially Cartman at his strongest.
Yeah, I mean, just, and you know, he gets so angry and he basically has a heart attack. And
no,
both times that it happens, he comes to, fuck you, Wendy.
It's
just amazing that, like, they, you know, and it's the exact same joke the second time, and I laughed even harder. What
like
did you think about
boss.
That introduction of the idea before we move on to the Impossible Meats?
I mean, I'm torn because it's obviously a commentary on kind of people trying to say what's better for everyone and trying to push their ideals on everyone, even though it's what they believe is better for everyone. But at the same time, what Trey Parker and Matt are showing through Cartman is that, even though it's better for everyone, people would rather wallow in their own unhealthfulness than have anything change because of somebody else's opinion. Like, they'd rather be obese and have heart attacks and things like that than have anything forced on them that they don't want to
adapt
to.
Yeah, like, they use the excuse of not having people force their opinions on them as a way to okay some of their not-so-great behaviors.
Well, and that's the funny thing when Mr. Mackey and PC Principal come to Cartman's defense, you know, and that... that's why they keep the bad school lunch food in there, is like, we don't, you know, think about how badly he can react, you know, we don't want anything bad to happen to Cartman, we don't want anything unhealthy to happen to him. So of course the very blatant irony of that, so that's why we're going to continue shoveling garbage onto a tray and giving it to him. And of course Cartman is so he's well he just the idea that there's a group of people that are something that stands in his way. I mean, that's basically what Cartman is all about. That's why he got his own restroom. You know, I mean, if you think of all the examples of times where Cartman doesn't even care that much about something, but maybe it's like, oh, wait, Kyle is in favor of this. Clearly, I oppose it. I mean, we've seen that even as recently as last season. So I thought that it started off in a good place, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I just love the whole arc that they gave Cartman on this issue. And Stephen, I was kind of wondering what you thought about where Cartman goes throughout the course of the process, basically, of the impossible meets.
Well, I think it's they did a pretty good job of kind of having Cartman's storyline move forward alongside Randy's storyline with the cattle ranchers.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, how are the average Americans taking this news of, you know, the FDA is doing certain things to be really corrupt and obviously politics are getting involved to be like, all right, well, we have to start making things healthier and the FDA is fighting them. But meanwhile, the cattle ranchers having, you know, we've created an infrastructure where we're breeding all of these animals for a supply and demand of the current like infrastructure of America. So it's like, do you really, I don't know. It's like really hard to kind of put into words how you feel about it, because I feel like I haven't like sat down and be like, where are the analogies? How have they created this metaphor for the current state of things? I don't know. I feel like I've kind of lost my train of thought
You're just trying to figure out what exactly it is, you know, that it's sometimes they're saying so Trey and Matt are saying so many things at once.
Right.
It's hard to keep track of like, well, I think they're saying that about this. This is why it's such a great show, because, you know, season 23, you could definitely be phoning it in right now. You know, I don't even know if they actually still write NCIS. I think they just show up and they film a bunch of scenes and then they put it on the air. They don't care. People just tune in for anything. But I think the fact that Trey and Matt put so much time into this show, and they're clearly smarter than me, I won't speak for either of you, but that it's just like it's always so impressive. Let's take it back to Randy, who is. We're talking about spirit animals, Steph. I think Randy's yours. and I love that we sort of end up right back where we were at the beginning of last week's episode, to the extent that I thought I was watching last week's episode for a second, where he's sitting there at the table.
Oh, yeah.
They're screwed because they're not getting that sweet Chinese money. And Shelly, of course, hates marijuana. I think that's her go-to thing. And the idea that, of course, Tally. This has been a great Tally.
Yeah, let's just get rid of our entire marketing budget, Sharon. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, right. It's like, well, maybe if you didn't throw yourself parades and take out full page ads. Yeah, exactly. And it's just the way his whole family barely tolerates Randy, but yet he's still there. You know, I can't imagine what it would take for Randy to actually get kicked out. You know, I think Sharon. It's just like. It's just not worth it to her, you Mm-mm. know. But what did you think about how Randy basically stumbled into this idea of the, well, what's an impossible burger? Wow, this really tastes like shit.
Plant-based.
Yeah.
Him and Cartman are the ultimate masterminds. They exploit every avenue that they possibly can, and this one was no different. As soon as he started repeating plant-based, I was like, oh, they're going after the terminology, which Stephen was talking about, how everyone buys into, regardless of how it's made or how good it is for you. So it made complete sense. And the way they wrap it up at the end, with both sides of Cartman being really extreme and him being really extreme, and not really caring what it they don't even know what they're fighting for. They just want whatever they want, which for Randy was money.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just in general, people don't even know what they're fighting for. They just know that they're there to fight. Stephen, what did you think about Randy when he's giving the presentation to the whole town? There's two moments that stand out. He talked about how eating meat doesn't just hurt animals, it hurts people. And then also, he just completely loses his train of thought because he's been eating Tegrity burgers. And he like answers a question that no one asked, and he's wandering around on the stage.
It's just Randy in Randy form. It's just, it's really awesome. It's straight up, It's just brilliant. Like, I think that's what you mean when you say that this show is back to form.
Yeah.
Is because, you know...
Literally, they had one off episode for me, and Steven is inclined to agree. But yeah, then they're right back to it this week.
Well, that and just, like, I think the ending was the big statement with Randy in terms of, like, they announced that, like, they show the video of him just shooting all the cattle.
Yes, of course.
And everyone's, like, up in arms and stuff. It's like, I mean, that's going on anyway. You're basically doing that by supporting the plant-based diet because, like, there's all these animals. Like, what are they going to do with them? They're going to just kill them.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, hey, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to set the cows free.
Right.
And that's why it's so funny that the rancher, also completely underrated character in this episode.
Part of the Goo Man Squad.
Yeah, exactly. Part of the Goo Man Squad. It's just he brings the 300 cows over. And that's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, so what are we going to do? Like, you know, if you want to make, like, a generational change of, like, well, we'll breed less animals, all that, it's like, that's one thing, but they're alive now, you know? So it's like they're going to just hang out outside the slaughterhouse and not go in.
Well, I think you guys are kind of jumping ahead. I think that if we have this much cattle, the point is, I think they are making a little play to that, but I think realistically, if it's about lessening the demand. So we, like, cows just don't die because we don't kill them instantly. Like, we just keep them alive until
they can be prepared for delicious veal. Absolutely. Go on.
I'm just saying, I think that wouldn't actually happen. You would just slaughter the cows when people need them, but the demand would lower, so it would be at a lower rate. Thank you so much, Ryan.
That was the smartest thing that Ryan has said in all the shows that he's produced. And he usually says good things, it's just that it was smarter.
I think it's just, it's different though, because it's not a demand changing. That's the irony with Burger King. That's why it's great to show Burger King, because it's not phasing one out and lowering the demand for one while raising the demand for the other. It is creating a whole new industry where these goo men are coming. And the goo men are creating this industry, and it's just as bad as the other industry. So instead, like, that's what they're showing with the processing. It's just as bad for the environment. It's like, straight up, we have the cattle industry, and we have now...
It's not just as bad for the environment.
I mean, it's fairly terrible, too, but, like...
I think it's comparatively bad for us.
So I would say here's the reason why it's worse for the environment, because the infrastructure of the beef, the meat industry, the cattle industry is still there. So you're adding to it.
Yeah.
If you're able to look at a time where you have transitioned to one, or you've, you know, evened them out, then you could make that case. But we have right now, you're just sort of making it worse. You know, it's like, people, you know, driving around the first generation of Priuses, like, oh my God, think about how green I am. Think about how much less gas I buy. But then you have, like, a toxic battery that goes and sits in a landfill, you know? So it's like, you really just saved yourself some money on gas. And I realize that's not the point of this episode, but it's a similar idea, you know? So, and I think that's just why it's so funny. I also, since you mentioned Burger King again, just Randy sitting out there in the parking lot also selling burgers. And the guy comes out, he's like, I have plant-based burgers too! And, of course, the goo man insisting and calling him HW, I thought was very funny.
Steven showed me
There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, but Steven, were you surprised that there wasn't a drink your milkshake up moment in this episode?
I don't know if this is the last we've seen of the goo man. That's what I'm kind of...
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
I feel like we have to get the Burger King guy killed in the next episode.
It's true.
Like, if he's treating him like that, like it's a combination between HW and the preacher, like, I'd love to see that.
Do I have to watch the movie before next week?
I mean, recommend it. It's a great movie.
It's, I don't know, it's Paul Thomas Anderson, so it's a little bit longer than it needs to be, but it's not in the way where, I mean, there's a point in Magnolia where I'll tell you the minute where you just turn it off and you'll be like, wow, that was a pretty good movie.
I think I know what minute.
It's when it starts raining frogs. Spoiler. I don't know. I would hope that we see him again. But I actually hadn't thought about that until you said it. So,
well, do you think there's going to be ramifications of, like, the video of Randy shooting all the cattle?
I would think so. And, I mean, let's talk about that sequence, by the way, because, I mean, it was brutal. Not just, you know, Towley's riding a cow and he shoots him in the head. Randy gets bored, so he takes a bat. And, you know, he's still got his gun, but he just beats the thing to death with a bat. And they take out 300. We know there were 300 cows there.
It's just no logic, all impulse.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you just summarized Randy Marsh and myself, by the way. But
all logic.
Oh, no. No logic, all
no
impulse.
No logic, all impulse.
Yeah.
Impulse.
Well, no, you were right. You were right the first impulse. Time. She was right the first time.
My That's bad.
My bad. But I don't know. As you're watching, I watched this episode without Steph. I texted you last night while I was watching it, and that was the sequence where I said, I can't wait for you to see this. So tell us about watching Randy and Towley slaughter 300 cows.
My God, what in the world? That's what I love and hate about Randy. It's these decisions where I'm like, how did we get here? How did we get here? And I'm surprised Towley, who's been the voice of reason this season, actually suggested, yeah, kind of implanted this idea, but I thought it was classic Randy.
To be fair, Tally is always high. So,
yeah,
you
all
know,
blood and gore.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like people don't really realize how large the industries are.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think people realize that 300 cows are not a lot.
Oh, no. I mean, look, if you've driven from Los Angeles to San Francisco, there's that one stop where, like, you're 10 miles away and you smell the cow shit. There's so many cows out the window. I mean, I don't know. Is that 3,000? I don't even know how many are there. You know, 300, I mean, it wouldn't look like a lot. If you took, like a photo from a drone over 300 cows, it's nothing.
Well, I wonder if there's, like, a bigger statement being made in this scene, too, because I don't know if there's... You know, some of these goo man plants are owned by the same people who do the cattle. Where,
yeah,
you know, people don't realize that businessmen in the meat industry do not see animals as living things. And I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
Well, animals, and if you want to be honest, like, if you're in that industry, you almost can't.
Yeah. Animals.
Of what you do.
Animals, yeah, in this industry are product. They're the same as, like, a light bulb on a shelf.
Yeah.
And if you suddenly need to clear out, let's say, 5,000 acres of land to start growing plant-based goo, you're not going to be like, all right, let's move these light bulbs to another place. Let's say, okay, well, we can afford this because it's going to get a rise in profits. Let's just kill it all. They're 86ing property. They're 86ing their livestock they don't need anymore by killing them. I mean, my dad works for the EPA, and you would be amazed at the amount of animal waste of just, like, carcasses that don't go to sale or carcasses they don't use. Like, my dad works with these huge processing plants out in North Carolina and out in Virginia, and they go out there and it's like 17,000 pig carcasses that are just waste food. They're just waste carcasses that, you know, something was wrong with them or they died or it was like a outbreak of something that, yeah, just didn't go to sale. Like, 300 cows is nothing. Like, the scale is much higher than anyone can even perceive. And that's why people have a very solid case for veganism and things like that, because, like, the meat industry is gigantic. But they're killing, like, they're legitimately killing tens to hundreds of thousands of animals every single day.
Right.
So clearing out a field and killing 10,000, 15,000 more cows is not really a dent in their budget at all.
Right. And I think the difference is that we actually saw it. And by the way, it was a cartoon, so it was easy to watch. Just imagine.
Was it easy to watch, Steph? Did you enjoy watching that?
No, I did not like watching it. It was triggering.
I would have loved to have watched it with you. And I would have paused it. And I would have been like, Steph, hang on. I got to go across the street to get a burger to eat while I watch this.
Oh my, you are nasty.
What? I don't eat meat.
So I
Oh, so
I
you're
was,
so much better than us.
I was the Wendy of this episode.
Fuck, like, you, Wendy.
Exactly. I was just envisioning you two saying that.
Well, you know, it's kind of what I say every week on the show, yep, anyway.
I mean, we're just going towards Snowpiercer. Just grinding up roaches and crickets into little black bars that we eat. That's what the Impossible Burgers are.
I
don't eat them.
You don't eat.
They're really good. Honestly, they're so good. It's probably because I haven't eaten meat in a while, so I'm not like craving a burger. Because what you were saying is probably true. No one who eats meat would like them, but I don't eat them because they're so bad, and that's the irony of it.
I mean, the irony is that, like, meat's not even that good anymore.
Well, like, the meat we're talking about, that, you know, if we're talking about Burger King, or even you're talking about, I don't, even if you're talking about like a chain restaurant. So if you get a burger at like, I don't know, Chili's, TGI Fridays, it's going to be a little bit nicer than at like Burger King, but it's still not very good quality meat.
No.
You know, if you go to, speaking of the drive up to San Francisco, if you stop at like Harris Ranch, where the steak that you get probably had been mooing earlier that afternoon, you know,
it's
so fresh, and you're just like, oh my God, it's so different. But most people don't have the opportunity to get their food like that. And I know, Steph, you're judging me, but
no, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's, we've bred the taste, the flavor out of meat, honestly. If you go
I
to,
think you're right.
If yeah. you go to Germany or you go to a European country and you have like a real steak that hasn't been loaded full of chemicals for the last 18 generations of its steakness,
yeah,
it's gonna be flavorful. It's gonna have a completely different taste than you used to, and you're gonna be like, wow, that was a steak. You go to Outback Steakhouse here, you're getting, people are buying meat for the texture more than they're buying it for the flavor anyway, and that's why Impossible Burgers work, is because nobody's even used to a good steak anymore.
Right.
Only people who live out on farms and can have it, or who go to those ranch houses or the saddle, like the big places that literally slaughter their own cattle, are you getting meat that's not had its all of its flavor bred out of it.
So let's talk about Cartman when he when it's taco day. Everyone has a big sigh of relief because he eats it, and like he's crunching some very funny, exaggerated, long drawn out crunching. And personally, I'm like, oh, he's gonna lose it when he realizes that this isn't real meat. And instead, he's like, hey, you guys see that Joker movie? And it just made me laugh so loud. And like, oh, thank God. And so there's that moment where he's like, okay, but then let's finally bring it back to the Cartman at the end of the episode. Who's like, look, I just want to be able to eat garbage. And this is garbage, too.
I just don't want change.
Yeah, I just don't want change. So this is also garbage, you know? And so it's like, so yeah, this is fine. What did you think about that message, Steph?
I thought it was, I love when they do this, when you think they're going to go one way, which is, I thought Cartman would throw a temper tantrum and burn down the school, but instead he wanted to almost profit off of it, and he understands it. He respects the business of it. But I also love the Taco Tuesday being another jab at LeBron James, because he does do Taco Tuesday every week, and he even wanted to copy.
He wanted to trademark Taco Tuesday.
Crazy. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Yeah. So loved it. Cartman was so awesome and horrible this episode.
And he says, turns out that goo is also processed crap that comes in a box. And that's all he really wants. And Steven, isn't that what it comes down to? So we're Americans. Gross. We just want processed crap that comes in a box.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more that people just have a defense mechanism right now so much.
Yeah.
Of people are trying to change me. People are trying to change my diet against my will. And I think that's what this was really representing, is that like there's a lot of like people who they don't really care what they're eating as long as they have the right to choose it, and it's not just like somebody's shoving health food crap down their throats.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you tell somebody, it's like, well, you know, this workplace is going to be all vegan on Fridays or whatever. You're like, no, but I don't want that. But if you had like every day there was the same menu, but also the vegan menu, then maybe somebody would be like, well, you know, people in the office are saying it's good. Let me try it. It's the idea that you're being forced to do something. And then that's where we, again, as Americans are like,
resist.
No, how dare you? I mean, you know, look, this is a country that was built on a few cents added to our breakfast beverage. And to steal a joke from my boss, Dennis Miller, it wasn't even coffee. This was about taxing tea. And like, how dare you? We want our tea for free. So it's like, yeah, that's just, it's in our blood. There will be blood. But it's just, that's what we do. And we don't want to be told what to do. Well, maybe like, we'll find our way to making healthier and better choices. I think in a lot of ways that people have, you know, they are, everybody? No. But I think there are a lot of people that are a little bit more health conscious. That it's like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to this cheeseburger and fries and not have that, you know, three nights out of the week or whatever.
Well, people's lives right now are so full of stress and so full of like the fear of the unknown and this whole existential crisis I feel like everyone deals with every single day of their lives that minor inconveniences are so blown out of proportion. It's like in LA, somebody got hit on the road and like was killed, and they closed down the highway, all four lanes of traffic, for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my mom, like, man, it's really upsetting that somebody's death caused everyone a minor inconvenience. Because it's like, you know, we should be willing to change and be, you know, flexible for, you know, one person.
Like, understand what's more important.
But, I mean, that's a perfect metaphor for America. We are a nation of, I can't believe that some motherfucker died on this road. And exactly. Now I have to sit in traffic for 20 extra minutes.
It's like if I'm on a plane and somebody on the plane's allergic to peanuts. I'm like, I don't get peanuts. This is bullshit.
Who wants pretzels?
Let that person die. Like, I mean, we all just feel entitled in certain ways because we were born into this, like, amazing level of freedom. Yeah. So we've created this entitlement to, like, you guys can be healthy if you want, but I'm going to go ahead and be unhealthy because it's my right to be unhealthy. And that's kind of Cartman. It's like, it's my right to be unhealthy. Oh, you're not making me healthy. We're all just unhealthy together. Okay, cool. I'm good with that. If you just want to be good for the environment, sure, whatever, great. But I want to be unhealthy.
Right, right. Just let me continue to be healthy. Well, speaking of freedoms and rights, Steph, let's transition over
Because I know you're going to go to news and gossip, but I wanted to give a shout-out to the title of the episode, which is Let Them Eat Goo. And that's obviously a reference to Let Them Eat Cake.
Correct.
Which is the huge saying that's attributed to Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
And it's referencing the princess's disregard for the peasants or her poor understanding of their situation.
Right, because what the problem was that there was no bread. And so this is what she said. She said, well, if there's no bread, let them eat cake. Mm-hmm. So it's just like not understanding the idea.
They want healthy food. Well, there's no healthy food. Well, let them eat goo.
Let them eat goo.
Mr. Jami in the chat says chicken burgers are the best. So I think he would say let them eat chicken. But we do appreciate you being in the chat.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
And side note, you guys, thank you for tuning in to our South Park After Show every week. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review and 5-star rating. Leave us a review. If you're watching us on YouTube, give us that thumbs up and leave us a comment so we can keep the conversation going.
And as every week we always find, no, this video does not have the episode in it. But thanks for sticking around to the end.
Wait, what?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Every week people are like, where's the episode?
Wait, there's not a website you can go to every single week to watch the newest episode of South Park called southparkstudios.com? What?
Yeah. What?
Blasphemy. Let's do news and gossip.
I think it's also on Hulu.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So interesting. Yes. Speaking of Gina and all of its controversy,
Gina.
The saga continues with our dear DJ friend Zedd.
He is a world-renowned
DJ. You might know him. If you don't, check him out. He's pretty cool. But anyways, he liked a tweet from South Park, and it was one of the more innocent tweets, just announcing the 300th episode.
Yeah.
Gina got a hold of that, and now Zedd has been blacklisted from, he's on the no-fly list to Gina. So, word travels fast. Christian and I are definitely outlawed.
I would think so. Steven has continued to be very pro-Gina, so Steven is still welcome there. Anytime.
Sorry, I use an iPhone.
Oh, well, I use an iPhone too. So how could I not be more China?
Zedd found out, if you guys saw the tweet that was up, he said, I just got permanently banned from China because I liked a South Park tweet. That's pretty iconic. I hope they throw him in an episode.
Is that like a PR job in China? It's like, hey, look for tweets. Okay, anyone who liked this tweet, ban them. And send them what's that letter look like?
I mean, how do you know that you have been banned from China? And did Zedd have like an upcoming gig? You know, was he doing, you know, New Year's Eve in Beijing? You know, I mean,
here, I know how we can figure it out, guys. So you can email us your social security number and I will put it through my process to find out if you've been banned from China.
That's so thoughtful of you.
I will do that. And if you include your credit card number, I'll even send you a plaque.
I was going to say, for their convenience, they should certainly give you their credit card number. Well, that does it for this week in South Park.
We have an iTunes review.
We do. I would love to hear
that. Did you shout them out recently or?
Not this week. Not
in a while.
Not
huh?
this season. Let's put it that way.
We have Ninskitty says, I actually really like this podcast. I like the actually.
It's so hard to believe because really Steph like is on it.
She's funny and smart, Christian.
She's so funny and smart.
Hold your judgment.
You're right.
It makes a lot of good points, and I listen to it a lot. I would definitely recommend this to someone if they asked for a South Park podcast.
Thank you. And what was that person's name?
Ninskitty.
Ninskitty.
And then we have a...
Nimsy!
Mimji.
A less excited podcast. Oh, that's from last year, though.
Oh, that's all right. If they're not excited, I won't
they
hear
said,
it.
They said, we're hilarious, but not because we're funny.
But see, here's the thing. That's true. We are hilarious, but it is not because we're funny.
This podcast is hilarious to listen to if you are a South Park fan. Watch the current episode and absorb all the beautiful satirical visual poetry from Matt, Trey, and their brilliant team. Then listen to a few narcissists try to relate all their idealistic thoughts to it. Meanwhile, they'll completely miss the fact that every South Park fan is laughing because Matt and Trey so brilliantly demonstrate why their idealism is so disgraceful week after week, year after year.
Yeah, but that's when Phil was still on the show, so obviously that was really what
and
the problem was.
And Steph wasn't funny and smart back then, but now
so
Steph.
Some weeks she was funny or smart, but now she's both.
Yeah, yes. We have Steph in true form.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, do we want to do a taste test next week of the Impossible Burger?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would do that for sure.
And I'll use
but it has to be from Burger King. Because,
do we have a Burger King?
Yeah, there's one on Victory. Not that I
Victory!
Not that I
guess. And if we can find some, like, CBD mustard or mayo or something.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And we can make a true Tegrity burger.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Now, you would have a meatless Tegrity burger.
Yes.
Yeah.
A Tegrity burger
well,
is
that's
meatless.
True. You're absolutely right. Yeah, by definition.
Yes.
This is a great idea. So, Stephen, does that mean you're going to be back next week?
Possibly.
You're like, well, it depends. Are there burgers?
I mean, people hate me on this show, so maybe.
But apparently people don't like any of us.
Yeah.
So, that's true. People spent the last two seasons asking where you've been, and now you're back, and they're probably going to say
they're
like,
fairly upset.
They're like, we're good. But if people do want to keep in touch with you, Stephen, where would they find you?
Well, I'm not Joe Biden's son, so they won't find me on a board for Chinese...
Or in the Ukraine. Yeah.
You can find me every week doing the Mr. Robot Show here.
I didn't realize that. Steph, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. And a friendly reminder that we are just 2 weeks away.
Oh my
from
God!
From Jack and Crack Witch Week.
Oh man.
I don't even have the jack. I've got plenty of crack in it, but I don't have the jack yet.
How are you on a Chinese board now? Right now, though, you're banned. How does that work?
We'll figure it out.
You work remotely?
Yes.
Got it. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ and check out the 250th episode of Marvel Movie News over on the Popcorn Talk Network. I wore a costume and I was very proud of myself, but you'll have to tune in to find out. But that's it for this week. We will see you next week. Until then, stay tegrity.
Exactly. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.